You've got to feed the flock. And God put heart in me to feed the flock of God. And I want to give us something today to help us because, you know, I am an employee and I'm also an employer. And all of us are one way or another. And we need God's wisdom as we go out tomorrow, next day, and the next day. How does a Christian react in the workplace? How does a Christian operate in the workplace? Well, he better operate like the Bible says. Amen. And if you operate like the Bible says, life will be a blessing and joy to you. If you don't, you're going to have a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache. Now, we're in the second chapter of the book of Ruth. Everybody there say amen. Now, please, please, please get your Bible open. If I see some of you that ain't got your Bible open, read it. I'm going to start preaching a bunch of stupid junk and try to see if you'll believe it or not because you ain't got enough sense to check it against the Bible. No, I won't do that, but I want you to check your Bible. Boy, if you can get the Bible, you got something. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was what?
Boaz.
And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came to glean the field after the reapers, and her hap was to lie on a part of the field belonging unto who?
Boaz,
who was a kindred of Elimelech. Now, there's a lot to the book of Ruth, and I'm not going to dive into that, but I want you to watch something here. Boaz, and verse 4, and Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers. Now, what have you got there? You've got an employer talking to his employees. You have an employee, you have a workplace situation. He has reapers in his field. Now, keep that word reapers in mind because we're going to go to straight to the New Testament and God's going to talk about the people who are reaping your fields in the New Testament. And here's your Old Testament example of it. Right here. How many here have ever worked for anybody else besides me? Okay, this ought to be a pertinent message then. How many has ever had people working for you? Raise your hand. This is real important to you. Okay? So here we go. And verse number 4, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, he said something to him. How many has ever had a boss say this to you? The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. And they answered him. How many has ever had employees say this? The Lord bless thee. Now I'm going to submit to you that right here is God's ideal workplace situation and circumstances. God expects the employer to take the initiative in setting a Christian and godly and Christ-like tone in the workplace. Amen. If you're an employer here this morning, you have a holy obligation to set forth in your workplace a holy and Christ-like and godly atmosphere and godly tone. This man, Kenny, walks up to his workers. He's coming from the town of Bethlehem, comes by the field, I'm sure, to see the workers, see how they're getting along, and he says, the Lord be with y'all. That's kind of unusual, isn't it? He said, the Lord be with you. How many employers even mention the name of God to their employees? He said, Reggie, you're not supposed to. Ain't nobody can tell me I can't talk about God at the workplace. Especially if I'm paying the light bill. Amen. This week, I've got employees, and I walked out there, gathered them up, out there in that shop. Most of them are not saved. I said, boys, we're going to have prayer meeting. They don't have to stay. I don't grab them by the throat. But you know what? I think they honestly kind of like it. And we just bowed and I said, boys, I want to pray. And we prayed. And I don't get it done every week with my employees, but I go out there and I pray with my employees. You say, Ray, they're not saved. They don't have a call. Oh, yes, they do. And we pray and we ask God to keep us safe and ask God to help them and help and God to do a good job and help us be a blessing to people and be a blessing to each other and get along with each other and treat each other with respect. And I'm going to say this too, that right here, if you're an employer, is God's formula for you to operate your workplace. The Lord bless you. Bring God into the workplace. Initiate it. Put up scripture verses. And don't use it for leverage. Be real. Okay? Now, Ruth 2:4 is the way it ought to be. What do you say? Say, Reggie, what do you get out of that? First of all, I want to look at the employer side of this thing because now, unless you understand God ordained authority, you won't get this. God has ordained in the universe structures of authority. God is over everything. I'm going to do this real quick. God is over everything, all right? But underneath God, there are structures of authority. The first structure of authority is home. All right? In the home, you have the father, and you have the mother. The father is over the mother, right? Head of the wife. Parents are over the children. That is a God-ordained, biblical-based structure of authority in this world. You say, I don't like that? You talk to God about it. I don't even want to talk to you. You take that up with God. I ain't wasting my time with somebody who's saying, I don't think I'm that way. Go. Leave me. Go to a liberal church somewhere. Amen. All right, now, the next thing is church or government. Let's go to government here. In government, the powers will be ordained of God. And we are, as long as they're not violating the Word of God, to be submissive to the ordinance of the government. We're not to have a rebellious spirit. We're to make appeals. But if they ask us to violate the Word of God, then we are to refuse to do it. If they, for instance, did you know in the book of Acts, the powers of government told the apostles that they could not preach in the name of Jesus Christ? The apostles said, sorry, but we can't obey that law. And they continued to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. They got thrown in jail for it, but they kept preaching. Man ought to obey God rather than man. There's a principle there, okay? Then there's the structure of the church. God has that. We'll spend much time on that. But there is leadership in the church, and God expects you to submit to the authority of that leadership. But that leadership and all of these, by the way, all of these, the leader is to be the servant. Now, he's to lead, and he's to make decisions, and he's to be tough when he needs to be tough and courageous and so forth, but he's to be a servant to all of them. Let him that is chief among you be servant of all. These are God's authority structures. Now, there's one other, and that is in the realm of the workplace. Okay? And we'll be looking at the scriptures on this pretty soon. In the workplace, there's the Bible calls it master-servant. And in biblical days, that's a lot. But let me say something to you. Just because somebody's called a master does not mean that they own somebody. Master actually means that he was the one. It had to do with apprenticeship type deals where that person really knew what he was doing and had the authority to train the others and to oversee the work that the others were doing. But you see, you'll read that if you're not careful with the world's concept and think, oh, he thinks he's the master around here. It's not the attitude at all. All right, but you have, in the workplace, you have, basically, in the terminology that you would understand it, is employer and employee. Now, I hate to tell you this today, but when you go to a workplace, the employer is your boss. When somebody hires me to do an auction, do you know what I don't do? I don't go out there and say, bud, get lost. I don't care how you want this done. I don't care what your desires and wishes are. I run this show like I want to run it. Now, if they ask me to do things that I know are not right or contrary to which I think is operating right, I can say, hey, you know, I can't do this for you. But other than that, I am employed by those people and they are the boss. Okay? When you're working someplace, you need it. You need authority and you need structure and God knows that. So you have these four places of authority structure there in the Bible. Now, we're looking this morning at the fourth one. This is Labor Day weekend. And I'm going to tell you something. America is getting hurt because she has departed from her biblical understanding and appreciation and activation of the biblical principle. So let's look over here this morning, first on the employer's responsibility. That'll be number one. All right, because God holds that those who are in authority and have those under their care to a higher standard of accountability. That makes sense? All right, so now here in Ruth chapter 2, here's the way it ought to be. The employer ought to initiate a spiritual atmosphere and a biblical atmosphere on the workplace. Now, I want to say this flat out. The employer ought, according to Scripture, to treat employees with respect. Amen. If you employ people, you have a biblical obligation to treat those people with the utmost respect. Now, what does that mean? That means that you take into consideration that person's individual life, you take into consideration that person's marriage, you take into consideration his family and his need to be with them and to be what he ought to be with them. And also, watch this, his need to provide for his family and to protect for his family. And as an employer, you conduct yourself in a manner that's conducive to seeing that done. God has said to that father that he's to provide for his family. You don't squeeze him to death and just see how much work you can get out of him and how little you can pay him. Say amen right there. All right. Secondly, not only do you treat them right with respect, but you communicate with them. Communicate with your employees. You're not the big shot. You're not so hot rod that you can't walk over to them and talk to them and be a friend of them and communicate with them. Boaz didn't drive by in a Corvette or a Hummer, roll his window down about 3 inches and say, "Boy, is it hot out there today?" Ha ha ha. No, he went out there to where they were at on their level and said, "The Lord bless you. The Lord be with you guys." You know what? He's smart. Because if God's with your employers, they're going to do a lot better. The devil's with them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then thirdly, set a godly tone and atmosphere. I just made it this past week a rule. You know, I used to have it, our shop and stuff is on our farm. Well, I made it to start with where they couldn't smoke in the shop, and that had a lot to do with safety issues. But this week, I gathered together the guys, no more smoking on the farm, period. And I said, and one of them went, "Oh, man, can I go out by the driveway?" I said, "No." I said, "I tell you what, if you go to jail, you know what you're going to do is quit smoking. You can quit smoking. They'll do it to you in jail. Just try it. You don't smoke over at jail. You may be a smoking. I'm not mad. Don't get ticked to me about smoking, okay? By the way, I'd rather have a tobacco spitting, snuff dipping smoker than a gossiper any day of the week. Where's that spittoon at anyway up here? We used to have a spittoon up here as an indication that we'd rather have smokers and spitters than gossipers. And we still would. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that there is a danger incurred, especially where there's gases and so forth, and there's some things that are just right, okay, and you want to be for their health. And I talked to this one boy, and I said, "Listen, I'm not trying to make life miserable for you, but I want you to live a long life. I don't want you breathing out a machine when you're 62 years old. I don't want you going, bring me my cut, sis." Okay, you know, it's just good for you. Nobody's mad at you. Nobody's trying to be mean. But I tell you another thing. Secondhand smoke's rough on you. It really is. And so anyway, I made this little deal there. And like I say, don't get off on that. But be considerate. Set a godly tone and atmosphere. Learn to pray with your employees. And tell them, you know, if you don't want to pray, you don't have to pray. But good land, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with going out there and praying with those people that's working for you and with you? And then be considerate of their families. Now take your Bibles to James chapter 5. So Boaz is a beautiful picture of how an employee ought to set the atmosphere and the tone with those that he's working with, okay? Now look at James chapter 5. Everybody turn there. And by the way, this message is not going to be that long. I've got to get to Iowa, so I've got my time limits today too, okay? Woo! We got to hustle. Everybody there fast, amen? James chapter 5, verse number 1. Everybody there say amen. All right, the rest of you, hurry. Go to now, verse number 1, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. What in the world would God tell them that for? Look at verse 2. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a what? A witness against you, and you'll eat your flesh as it were fire. You've heaped treasure together for the last days. What in the world are these guys doing that brings the wrath of God upon them so rough? What are they doing that God says, "Listen, you're going to be sick of the very riches you've gathered"? Look at the next verse, verse 4. Here it is. Behold the hire of the laborers who have what? There's that word. Remember Boaz had reapers? Those were people working for him. He said, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud. He said, you were employing. Watch this. Listen to me now. Listen, everybody pay attention. We're having church here. He said, you were hiring people. And you didn't pay them right. You were hiring people, and you were just squeezing the soup out of them, trying to get all you could get out of them without paying them right. And God says, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Judgment's coming at you like a freight train, and you ain't going to like it. And all the junk you thought you was gaining by cheating your employees, is going to come back and bite you like you ain't going to want. And the wrath of God's on you because you cheated your employees. Let me tell you something. You never gain by cheating the people working for you. Now, there's another side to this. There's always balance in the Scripture. We're going to get there. There's always balance. But I'm telling you this passage of Scripture. Look what it says there. He said, the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. You have nourished your hearts to death, slaughtered. You condemn and kill the just, and he doth not resist you. He's saying, listen, you made a killing. You got rich. off the backs of other people that you weren't even paying right. Now let me say something to you. There's profit is not a dirty word. Are you listening to me? And you better be. Let me tell you, people that have been swallowing Obamaite socialism. If that clown gets his way, we'll all be making 62 cents an hour. And it'll be communist Russia. And we'll all be living in high-rise apartments with the same color carpet and the same... And you say, Reggie, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. I have been there. I've seen it. And they destroy, and they think probably them capitalist pigs. Let me tell you something. If you just need to take one trip to the Soviet Union and go to their supermarkets, and you'll come back over here saying, bless God for profit. Because the motive for making profit is what puts all that stuff so cheap on your shelves and makes it so plentiful and so many different kinds. All right? But here he's talking about people who are hiring people and they're just squeezing them and robbing them and not paying them like they ought to. Let me give you an example in good old practical hillbilly terms. You baled hay. Oh, we didn't mean to get this close, did we? You baled hay and you asked the guy. Now, I know nowadays you can't get them out in the field for 25 cents a bale each. But back in the old days, you know, when there wasn't nothing else to do in this part of the country, the only thing you had to do, amen, was haul hay. And you couldn't wait till the first field was cut down. Cause, and I mean, there were 42 guys lined up in Norwood down here to go grab them hay bales. So the guy comes up and he says, I want you to haul hay. Well, what do you, okay, and you don't even, back then you didn't even ask him what he's paying because you're going to pay something, you're just going to work. Well, he pay a cent and a half a bale. Back when I started off, that was good. The first job I ever had was a half a cent a bale for driving and helping unload. Then I got promoted to a cent a bale and it went off. And most I ever got that I remember is 2 cents a bale. And I'm telling you, we could make good money at 2 cents a bale. Because a bottle of pop was 5 cents. I mean, you could buy all the pop you could drink down here at the old store. Amen. But anyway, yeah, you make 20 bucks a day. I mean, you're rich. But anyway, you go out to the field and the guy, watch this. The guys, one of the questions you always want to find out was how heavy are the bales? So, you know, the first few rounds he makes, you know, not too bad, you know. But then while the truck's gone to the barn with the first load, the old boy stops his tractor, puts it in neutral, climbs back there at the baler and screws her down. And all of it, been there, ain't you? How many's ever experienced that? Amen. All right, now, and so all of a sudden, you come back out there, and you're driving your truck around the hayfield, and you hit this roll, and you run over to grab that bale, and you go, and the strings go up like this, and the bale's still on the ground. And the bale weighs 50 or 75 pounds more than you had, and you're just up there, and you're busting your guts out, straining your guts out. I mean, you're talking about hemorrhoids and what all that stuff you get. And that old farmer, he just tucking his old tractor, he's just grinning because he got you. Got a bunch of stupid schoolboys out here lifting 122-pound bales, thought they was going to be hauling 60 pounds, and actually it's not costing me a cent and a half, it's costing me 3/4 of a cent now to haul my hay cart. That's how it happens. And so if you kind of have ways that you think you squeeze more out of everybody, you're just kidding yourself, all right? Look, we got to move on. That's too close to preaching, amen? Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 9. You say, I want you to preach on the cross, Reggie. I want to hear about Jesus today. You're hearing about Jesus. Yeah, that's the problem. You're hearing too close about what Jesus has to say. Amen. Colossians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Talking about employees here. There ain't no Colossians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 9. We've got to run, rush. Everybody there say amen. And you masters, here it is again, the employers, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Don't threaten people that's working for you. Forbearing, threatening. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. In other words, you know what he's saying? Hey, big boss, you got a boss. You got somebody in heaven that's above you. You better treat him right. Neither is there respect of persons with him. God says, I ain't. You're not some hot rod. You're not better than that guy that's working for you. All right, let's go to Colossians now, chapter 4, verse number 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 1. Real quick. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Now, you better hang on to this verse right here because everybody in America, you know, got their rights. And if we don't get paid what we think, you know, well, we're going to strike and blah, 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 and we're going to show you this, that, and the other. I never will forget old brother Stanley Highnote one time. He said, Reggie, he said, I'll tell you what I've got against striking. He said, I was a soldier boy on European soil. Listen, are you listening to me? I was a soldier boy on European soil, looking up the moon tonight, hoping the same moon was over my home. And he said, I found out they struck the shipyards over there in the United States did, so I couldn't get stuff over here I needed as a soldier. And he said, that cooked my goose. So you don't do that to your soldier boys. Okay? Now, look at chapter number 4, verse number 1. Master's given your servant that was just and equal. In other words, pay him consumer to the work, pay him consumer to the wages. Don't cheat him. That was your judgment. Knowing that you have a master in heaven, God says you're going to reap it. You better treat him right. Pay him a just wage. Pay him a just wage, all right? All right, now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. That's over past Hebrews and James. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. Let me tell you something about the Bible. It's got something to say about everything, and it's right. It's got something to say about every issue of life you ever want to dream about, and it's right about it. And God's right about it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 17 through 23. Verse number 17, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know what that means? You've got a boss that's he's good and he's gentle and he's kind to you. He said, be subject to him. He said, you got one's meaner than a bear cat and hates your guts and cusses you out and chews on you and everything else. He said, still be a Christian to that man. Don't make any difference how good he or not good he is to you. You be a Christian. You have a right attitude. You be subject. Verse number 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And I tell you, there have been many a man endured grief and suffered wrongfully on his job with a sorry boss.
Amen.
Are y'all asleep this morning? What is it? World? Y'all still here? All right. Now you listen to me. God tells us that we ought to have right attitude. It doesn't care what kind of workplace we're in or what kind of boss we got. Verse 20, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if and when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. You did your very best for that boss, and he just didn't appreciate nothing and cussed you out and blamed you for everything that went wrong, and you was trying to do it right. God says, hey, just take it patiently. I'll reward you in heaven over that deal. I'll balance it out. All right, everybody still there? And he gives you the example in verses 21 through 23 of Christ. Now, go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Now, how many of you knows that you could probably drive the wheels off your pickup truck in the United States and not find a message on this subject in a church? They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Because there's such a divide between what? The employers and the employees. And they don't want to make anybody mad. I say make them all mad. Amen? Make them all mad. If you don't like the Bible and it makes you mad, get mad. I mean, you know, it's just the truth. Matthew chapter 20. Now here we go. Watch this closely. We've established the fact that like Boaz, there ought to be a godly, spiritual, happy, joyful, encouraging attitude respecting the workers in the workplace, especially, and you have the responsibility as an employer. We've looked at all these employer sides of how that he's to treat them right, pay them right, take care of them, and so forth. Now watch this when we get in. Now this is the one that blows them away. This one will blow you away. Be sure you're reading because you'll think I'm lying to you if you don't read this. Verse number 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that's a householder went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Got a workplace situation, don't we? Got a man hiring people, hiring laborers. They're going to work in his vineyard. And when he had agreed, watch that. Underline the word when he had agreed. Are you doing it? Underline the word when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also in the vineyard whatsoever. What? Right. I will give you. And they went their way. Now, what's the first, verse number 2? He said, when they had agreed with the first ones, he made an agreement with them for how much they was going to get. The second bunch, verse number 4, whatsoever's right, I'll pay you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. This guy starts early in the morning. They're working. He agreed with them on certain ways. He goes out there, sees people ain't working, says, you want to go down my field and work? You know what he's doing? He's harvesting, right? He needs to get it in. More workers, let's get it in. You ever done that? Haying, cropping, so forth like that. You're going out and get some more people to help you. That's what he's doing. Mason agreed with him. Verse number 7 says, whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Verse number 8, so when evening was come, here you go, when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they were come that were hired about the 11th hour. Now, how many hours did the ones work in the 11th hour? About 1 hour. They received every man a penny. Now, back in the Bible days, that penny was like equivalent to a day's wages. And I can prove that to you, but we don't need to go out there. But just take my word for it. That was considered to be a day's wages, all right? Verse number 10. But when the first came. Now, remember, he starts with the people that started working at the 11th hour. Starts paying them all. He paid them a penny. Verse number 10, but when the first came, that's the guys that got there at 6 o'clock in the morning. They supposed, are you listening to me? They supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Now, why did these guys suppose that they should get more than they agreed on? They work longer. Now, I'm going to make a statement to you today that you better get a hold of. It'll help you in life. God does not operate on the principle of fairness. Never has and never will. God operates on the principle of justice and righteousness. Fairness is man's idea of what should have happened. Justice is God's supernatural. Just always keep this in mind. He's God. He can do what he wants. But he ain't going to violate his own holiness, and he's not going to violate righteousness. And he's going to teach you a great principle here. How many life have ever thought, and I got my hand up, I wasn't treated fair down there.
Amen.
They didn't treat me fair. They didn't do me fair. And you know, now watch this. The Bible says, comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. These men's problem was they were comparing themselves with other people and what would happen in other people's lives. I want to ask you a question. Andy Simpson started preaching when he was 12 years old. He had a wreck when he was 16 years old and paralyzed himself from the waist down. He's never been able to walk since. I'm 55 years old. I'm still walking on two legs, Mike. I get up in the morning. Andy has been more dedicated to the Lord than I have. Is God unfair? You reckon Andy's ever got up some morning and said, God, that ain't fair. I don't have two legs to walk on. He may have. But is God unfair because I have two legs and you have two legs and he doesn't? He's up in Montana starting churches and crawling around. I'm telling you, riding a wheelchair everywhere in the world trying to get gospel churches planted in the northwest United States. And he's in a wheelchair. Is that fair or not? He needs legs. You need to get out of your brain and out of your thinking that God is supposed to be humanly fair. God does not operate on human fairness. God is a just God and he knows what he's doing and he sees the end from the beginning and he will operate in righteousness and judgment. And here's one of the devil's biggest tricks that ever nailed you to the wall is to get you to think that God wasn't fair. And to get you to think that other people ain't being fair. And you go around the rest of your life saying life isn't fair. And you're a whining, murmuring, baby, sissy going around and you're going to die saying it wasn't fair.
Amen. That's good.
And you rot, your life rot. You have no joy, no happiness. I mean, you're all against me. You're paranoid. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
All right, now let's watch it. Let's read the rest of the story. Verse number 11. Now remember, they supposed that they'd receive more. But what happened up in verse number 2? Look at verse number 2. When they started, what had they done? They had agreed to it, right? Now, verse number 11. When they received it, they did something. What'd they do? And they murmured against who? The man that hired them. That low-down boss, that sorry low-down thing, he paid them other people more. They didn't work but half the time we did or a fourth of the time we did, and he paid them just as much. And brother, I'll tell you what, he's a sorry low-down snake.
And not many of us in here this morning wouldn't think the same thing. And that means to tell me that we've got to get our minds renewed. to the thoughts of Christ. Did you know something? Now watch this. I go out and I book a sale and I book it for 5, 6, 10, 15%, whatever it is I'm selling, and I book it for that, and I get there at the day of the sale, and after the sale's over, I start to settle up with you and I charge you 30%. What are you going to say? I don't think so, Reggie. That's not what we agreed to. But I say, but you didn't tell me you was going to take the tractor out and take the car out. Now all there was a bunch of Walmart dishes sitting there. And I've got help in here all day long, and I've got $600 worth of labor, and the commission was only $262.36, and I lost money here. You say, I don't care. You agreed. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. God's looking for righteousness. He's not looking for fairness. All right. They murmured against the good men of the house. Sounds familiar to me, doesn't it? You, verse number 12, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. We were the ones who worked. Okay, so verse number 13. But he answered one of them and said, friend, now watch this. This is where your American forefathers got you where you're at with all the prosperity there is in this country, because they understood this truth. This is what the man said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Circle verse 15. Here's the secret. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Now let me tell you, let me implicate this into the social political situation we're in right now. There is a law they're trying to institute where unions vote on something and they can't vote secret ballot. Folks, you just lost your freedom when you let that happen to you. That's nothing but mafia tactics. That's mafia tactics, straight up, gun barrel straight. Nothing but mafia tactics. Just be honest about it. That is saying we're going to take away your freedom. We will control you from lock, stock, and barrel. You will do what we tell you, how you tell you. I'm going to tell you, you're exchanging what you think is a bad boss for a cruel taskmaster is what you're doing. Hey, right. And I despise that stuff. Don't you tell me, you know what the next will be? You know what's coming next? If that passes, they're going to have a guy that'll walk, a brown shirt, that'll walk in the voting booth with you, see who you vote for in the general election.
That's right.
It'll be like the Black Panthers up there, wherever they were at in Chicago during the last election, having sticks out there, telling you who you're going to, if you don't vote for Obama, we're going to beat the snot out of you right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And got out of it by Obama's Justice Department. And if we don't stand up on our hind legs in this country and tell the truth, our children are going to go down into communism. It'll just be under another name, sweetheart. It's the principle of ownership in the Bible. It's the principle of free enterprise. If I want to grow green beans and take them down to the farmer's market and sell them for $75 a quart, that's my business. I may not sell a quart, but I've got a right to do it. If I want to take my green beans down there and sell them for 10 cents a quart while yours is $1.75, and I've sold all mine and you ain't sold none of yours, that's my right to do that. And don't you dare try to take that away from me. It's biblical and it's American. Amen. Is it not lawful for me to do with that which is mine own? Well, do you know what socialism says? You don't have a right to do with your own. Yeah, you don't have a right to milk 30 cows or 60 cows or 500 cows. We'll tell you how many cows you milk. You don't have a right to raise 42 puppies, or you don't have a, you know, we're going to super nanny you. Super nanny. Spy on everybody. You can only have 1.2 kids. Try that one. That's what they're doing in China. Communist China. 1.2 kids. Did you know they kill girls, baby girls in China? You betcha. Well, anyway, he said, it's lawful for me to do that which moan. Is thine eye evil because I'm good? Better get a hold of that one. It's the principle of ownership. It's the principle of freedom. It's the principle of private enterprise. It's the principle of righteousness. It's the principle of doing what you said you would do. And now, can anybody guess what the guys ought to have done? They should have said, man, we ain't going out there for a penny the next time. When are you going to pay that? You know what I like about America? If I like my job, I can walk off. You know the old country western song? Yeah, you all listening, I can tell. That's a way back here, right? That tells how old you are. Take this job and... Okay? But bless the Lord, we can do that in America. Hey, they can't do it in communist Russia. They've got to do what the government tells them to do. If the government says you're driving a truck from the pea patch to the plant, you're driving a truck from the pea patch to the plant. You ought to have a shout and spell because you got free enterprise, because you can go out here and hang up your shingle and say, I'll do those for $35 an hour or $175 an hour. Quit griping at everybody else and quit being jealous of somebody who's successful. Life isn't fair. Up in Kansas City right now, they've got these billboards. I love them. All it says on the great big billboards, Microsoft was started in a recession because of a recession. You know what the message is? What's his name? Bill Gates started that because he's out of work and didn't have nothing to do. And he said, I'm going to do something. Let me tell you something. Hard times might be the best times you've ever had in your life. Necessity is the mother of invention. Most of the great things that's happened in America happened because people were broken out of work and didn't have nothing to do. They said, man, I got to figure out something. Quit sitting in the house eating moon pies and drinking RC colas and griping. Get to work, amen. You sit around and listen to that. Oprah Winfrey, she'll drive you nuts if you ain't already there. All right, now, we've been to the employer side. Go to the employee side. Go to Luke chapter 3. Now, I'm going to say it again. You take care of your employees. You treat them right. Give them a raise. Amen. It gets doing better for you, make it better for them. That's exactly right. That's right. You know, really, I know, honestly, let them know you love them, you care about their families and their homes. I'll tell you what, you got one that's having trouble with his wife. I said, listen, son, go take care of home. We'll take care of this till you get back, but you take care of your marriage. You lose your marriage, you ain't going to be... Listen, I've seen it. A man's marriage gets messed up, he ain't worth a dime on the job. The best thing you'll do is help them be saved and know Christ and keep their homes together and help them have a good relationship with their kids. Let me tell you something else. Give them a week's paid vacation. Say, only if you take your son with you. Amen. Only if you take your children with you. Go home and spend a week with your family. Save it. Pay him while he's gone. That's your paid vacation. Luke chapter 3, verse number 10. And the people ask you, now here's John the Baptist coming into his ministry in Luke chapter 3. And he's preaching like a wild man. And people comes up and says, John, what do? Tell us how we ought to live. Well, the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? Verse number 10, he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart one that hath none. How many of you got two coats? I'm going to tell you what, most of us got more clothes to know what to do with. Let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. You know what he's saying? Hey, listen, help people around you. Be a neighbor. Be a neighbor. Verse number 12, then came also the publicans to be baptized. And they said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, oh, I love it. Exact no more than that is appointed you. Somebody has said the liberals' only verse in the Bible they like is that there went out a decree that all the world should be taxed. They claim they've got real interest in the Bible recently. I don't know whether that's true or not, but they want the whole world to be taxed. By the way, can I tell you something? You can tax business out of existence. And that's what's going to happen in this country. You just tax people. You know, you tax me so much after a while, I'm going to get my worm and fishing pole and go down to Brian Creek. I'm forgetting it if I've got to pay Uncle Sam half or 60% of everything I'm making. Yeah. And by the way, can I just inject this morning? I hope you haven't believed the stupid lie that the rich don't pay taxes. Now, if you ain't got any better sense than listen to Keith Olbermann say lies like that over CNN... and go check it out, then somebody ought to put a chain and a ball on you to make sure you don't get too far away from home. Let me tell you something. The rich in this country pay super taxes, huge taxes, to the tunes of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of taxes.
Are there loopholes? Are there laws? Everybody's, hey, you deduct where you can. Yeah, there's some things that aren't just. Life's not fair. Okay? I didn't say everything's right. Now watch this. Watch verse number 14. Watch it. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? So you had the people, the publicans, and the soldiers saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man.
That was a different deal. They were supposed to walk around being tough, knocking heads.
Next thing, did you accuse any falsely?
Soldiers had a lot of power. They could say, we saw that guy doing it. They could accuse him, bring him in. Somebody didn't like your family. They just say, well, we heard this, and arrest you, and he's gone. Yeah. No, he said, don't accuse anybody falsely. And look at the last one. Be content with your wages. How many of us can say that? That I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Lord, I'm thankful for what I make. I'm thankful for the job you give me. I'm thankful for the wages I make. You know what he said? He said, quit griping. Quit groaning. Be thankful. Be content with the wages that you make. Let me just say something about wages. It's not your wages so much as it is the management of what you're making. That's the flat truth of it. And America has gotten so far away from God's Word that there's no way that we could ever get paid enough to do all we want to do. I mean, I got my eye on a Bass Pro boat up there, $17,600. And then by the time I get everything I really need with it, Bill, it's going to be about $22,000. I'm telling you something. I've got two or three people around me who's got them, and I ought to have one too.
Ain't fair.
So now I'm going to go to my boss and say, hey, I need a raise. He said, what do you need a raise for? Well, I've got a bass boat I need to buy.
That's right.
Oh, really? The second thing is that it's not our wages so much as it is the mismanagement of the money that we're already making. Can I tell you something? If you got a job and at dinner time you go to McDonald's every day, don't tell me you need a raise. Because I'll give you one real fast. Have mama start packing you something worth eating. And take your sack lunch with you. How much money would you save? Now you say, well, that's cheap meal. Not time they done with you. But if it's $6, let's just say it's $6 for 5 days a week, that's $30 a week, times 50 weeks is what? $1,500 and some dollars.
Just on lunch.
Now, we haven't even got to the good part. Let's go to Coca-Cola's. Two a day. Dollar a piece, $2 a day. 300 days is $600. So now I'm up to $2,100 I can save and just quit eating junk food.
What about ice cream?
No. Don's in. I think it's time for you to go home. There are some things that are necessities in life, and ice cream is one of them. But I'm glad there ain't an Andes down this part of the country. I'd be broke, amen? If there was an Andes down here around Norwood, I'd just be circling it just like that. And I'd be broke. But learn to live according to your means. You know what? God has a lot of sweet things He wants. Some of you young couples ain't got nothing. And you're just barely scratching it out. And God's, these are some of the sweetest days of your life. You don't even know it. You ain't got nothing but God and each other. Best time you've ever had. And you just need to love each other and be happy with what you got. Stay out of debt best you can. Don't owe, if you don't owe much, folks, it don't take a whole lot to live. I'm telling you, listen, if you don't owe much, it don't take a whole lot to live. And learn how to make good buys on what you're buying, you know. Don't just go down there and buy don't buy, what's the stuff that women buy that put in the oven?
I don't know.
TV dinners.
Never had
one. God bless you. But I'm saying this, if you just be careful about what you're buying, all that kind of stuff, you know. But anyway, boy, I'm off on the tangent now, ain't I? But let me say, first of all, don't live above your means or before your means.
Yeah.
You'd be shocked how many people I deal with in business that are 65, 70 years old and have $22,000, $25,000, $27,000 worth of credit card debt. And don't know what they're going to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've got a credit card right here in my pocket, and I buy gas with it, and Karen pays it off every month, just like that. We don't pay no interest on it. It's actually good for business in the sense that, you know, I don't lose tickets, and she knows what's been done and all that. I don't mind that. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're just beat-bopping around through Springfield, slashing your credit card, you're crazier than three ticks on a coonhound.
Yeah.
Quit it.
Amen.
Quit it. And if you can't discipline yourself, cut that thing in half. And say, until I can discipline myself, I will not own a credit card. I'll tell you how tight I am. My daughter-in-law cuts my hair, and I get my money's worth. Amen. I've been blaming this on you all morning long. I've told more lies about you cutting deep in the it's too late. It's already gone. I had to get it cut down. But no kidding. Let's live it. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Let's get out of here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm glad that God's Word's got something to say to us. Amen. And I do need to hit the road, and y'all have been very long-suffering and kind and said here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 11. Here it is. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. God wants us to work with our own hands. I'm going to hit something here. Now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I think this should become the national motto for America. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10. In fact, I just can't help but do this. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6. Everybody there say amen. I want you to get this one. Now we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which you received of us. Verse 7, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Watch verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. That means nothing. Paul said, I didn't go around as a preacher looking for a 10% discount on everything and eating everybody's food and clothing and expecting everybody to take care of me because I was a preacher.
Amen.
But wrought with labor. Paul said, it worked and travailed night and day that we might not be chargeable to anybody. You know what Paul didn't want anybody to say? Oh, Paul's just in it for the money. Paul's a lazy hound dog preacher. Paul said, I worked with my own hands. Now watch. Verse number 9, not because we have not power. He said, you know, I could, preaching is work, whether y'all believe it or not. Ministry is labor, whether you believe it or not. But to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And I could get off on a deal on that, but I've got to go. Verse number 10, here we are. For even when we were with you, this we command you do that. And here's the national motto that needs to be taken over. If any would not work, neither should he eat. If you won't work, you ought to starve, rascal. That's the Bible. I'll tell you what, we've got potato chip and munching people sitting on couches all over the United States, got their hat coned down, stick it in the mailbox.
Yeah.
Looking for a welfare check.
Yeah.
Wanting you to go out and work and feed them.
Yeah.
It ain't right. If you can work and won't work, you're wicked.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something else. He's out there on your job one day and you fail. Oh. Bless your heart, you fail. You fail. And you go, oh. And you've been hearing for 6 or 7 months about a doctor and a lawyer that's all teamed up to help guys like you. You got his number, in fact, in your billfold already. And you called that doctor up and says, I need an appointment. I fell at work. You're just healthy as a horse. You go out your house and cut wood all week on. But you went down to that doctor and he said, yeah, boy, it's bad. Me and my buddy, we can fix you up. So the first thing you send that in, that don't get it done. So now you go to your attorney, buddy. He specializes in suing the taxpayer to pay loafers. Say amen. It's going on all over this country. You're healthy as a horse, lazy as a hound dog. You're looking for payday and quitting time and everybody else to feed you while you fish. And that old attorney, he writes Social Security disability for 30%. He gets cut of your check every month, doesn't he? Ain't that neat? No wonder he likes it so well. See, you boys come in. Because if he gets about 1,000 of you boys on that trick. And I'm going to ask you. You say, well, the government's paying it. No, I'm going to tell you who's paying it. That brother in Christ sitting across the way from us working. And I'm going to stay before Almighty God. You're going to stand before the judgment bar of God, and God's going to say, you're a thief! You stole all your life! It's going on all over custom. Why? Because we've left our biblical basis for work. And I'm going to tell you, if a man won't work, he ought not eat. Now let me say something to you. If you honestly got injured on the job and you were incapacitated, that's what that's for. And bless God, go get it. That's what that insurance is for. If you got injured on the job and you're incapacitated to the degree that you are, and they've got an insurance policy or whatever like that, that's what it's for. I'm not against that. What I'm against is this lying and crooked and deceiving and claiming that you're not, that you're hurt when you're not. And then what happens to you? You know what? Did you know that's not even the worst of it? Guess what the worst of it is? You turned yourself into what the Bible calls a sloth. You know what sloths do? Let me show you what a sloth do. A sloth hangs onto the couch for the rest of his life. Sloths are those animals that hang on to limbs the rest of their life and sleep the rest of their life. And you hang onto your couch or your recliner chair the rest of your life. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got time. We're getting out of here, but God ain't got very much good to say about you. God hates slothfulness. He hates it. God's not a lazy God. Well, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. You say, Reg, you mad at the whole world. No, I ain't. I'm mad at the devil. Love everybody. Love God. Hate the devil. Yeah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Here's the secret to working for people. Colossians 3, 22. Everybody there say amen. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Don't work hard when the boss is watching. As men pleasers. Ain't nobody likes to be around one of them guys who when the boss walks in, boy, he gets real busy. I mean, he's getting her done. The boss is here. Quick as the boss walks out, your co-workers will hate your guts and don't shock me either. He said, servants obey not with eyes or men, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. He said, have one purpose, single-hearted, single purpose. Look at verse 23. Here it is. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You learn. Don't work unto your boss. Work as unto the Lord. You go in there Tuesday morning. You jump in that truck or you go in that plant or you get in that milk barn. You work as unto God. Not unto men. You may have the sorriest boss in the United States. God says, don't worry about him. Work as unto me. Work heartily. Do a good job for my glory and my sake. Be a good testimony for me. It's your witness opportunity.
Amen.
There's so much in here. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with might. Give you these scriptures. You're going to write it in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 45, Luke 17, 7 through 10, Luke 22, 24 through 27. It's our testimony. Where we're working is our mission field. And how we're living there is going to affect our testimony for Jesus Christ. I want to say something very plainly, and I think give honor where honor is due. A man came to me here a while back. I had an auction. It was one of the most blessed things I've ever experienced. He said, you're Reg. And I said, yeah. He said, you're the pastor down there at Norwood, aren't you, in Liberty Faith? I said, yes, sir. He said, Reg, there's a man in your church works for me. I said, really? I didn't know what. I thought, And I said, really? I said, where at? He said, it's the post office. He said, Ralph Pitts. He said, I'm going to tell you what, he's the best worker I've ever had. He said, he helps the atmosphere of our place. He said, there's been mornings that he was the only reason I look forward to coming to work.
Amen.
Ralph, I want to tell you as a pastor, buddy, I want to tell you what that meant a lot. To hear that somebody was living for Christ at your workplace. When an employer can come up, or a boss or a superior can come up and say, you got a guy at your church works, and I tell you what, he's the right kind of man.
Amen.
I wish we had all of them like him.
Right.
I'm not saying that there's not many others in here. I pray that we'll all be that kind of person. Well, what a blessing that was. I can tell you something. That man's got a testimony with that man. He's got a testimony with that man. Well, it's been a great morning. Listen, employers, give your employees what's just and equal. Treat them right. Employees, work as unto the Lord, not unto men. And let's bring Christ, all of us, whether we're an employer or an employer or both, let's bring Christ in the workplace. Me and Karen's going to head north. Tonight, they're going to show this film, In the Face of Evil. It's not a short film, but I'm telling you, if you do come and you listen to it, I ask you to listen to it intently. I don't agree with all this stuff. It's not from a fundamentalist viewpoint. It's just from a general viewpoint, but there's so much riches about how a man ought to stand in this evil day. And an example of it, I think, would be a blessing to you. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here.